Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sabbath to everyone. I pray that you have had a blessed week and that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High on this evening. As the world prepares for Christmas, something that we don't celebrate, we just want to keep in mind our Elohim and that this is a day that he said that if we are his people that we should honor. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. If you are in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the continent of China, or the continent of China, the country of China, Japan, Finland, Russia. We wish you all a happy Sabbath and pray that you are ready to talk about the holy and the unholy. As we have been reviewing the new covenant, reviewing the old covenant actually, and have started into the new covenant, one of the things that comes up in the new covenant that is commanded is that you be holy. Okay, and so we're going to talk about this on tonight because one, you know, what people think that it means to be holy is contrived as something that is made up, you know, in people's minds. The Most High defines everything that he would have us to be and to do. And he hasn't told us to be anything that is not possible for us to be. So I wanted to cover this topic on this evening because as we head into the Roman Greco New Year, starting in the 1st of January, is something that I want you all to consider for your lives, is that to be holy, and what does that mean, and how you might go about to achieve it in the new year to come, the new Roman Greco year. It's not the new Hebrew year. That won't be until March, April time frame for us. With that being said, Shabbat Shalom and happy Sabbath to everyone. Let us usher in the Most High. He has said that in our new moons and in our feast days and in our Sabbaths that we are to blow the shofar. And when we blow the shofar, he says that he will come. And if we are in trouble, that he would look out for us, that he would go out on our behalf. But we are going to sound the shofar so that we can usher in the Most High. To our statement of faith, our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their head, men's uncover your head as we go before the Most High on this evening. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Let us welcome in the Shabbat, the Sabbath, that he has ordained that we, his people, should keep perpetually throughout all time. He said, by this act, that men should know that we belong to the Most High because we keep his Sabbath and keep his commandments. Father, we just glorify you, we magnify you, and we lift you up. We extol you, Father. We glorify your name on today, and we honor you by keeping your Shabbat, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Father, we just glorify you. Glory, 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 glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Thank you for keeping us safe through this week. Hallelujah. You are our Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. There is no other. And we thank you, Father, for making us witness to this, that there is no other Elohim other than you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim as we go before him in prayer. Let me have everybody turn toward the east. And if you don't know which way the east is, that's the way toward where the sun rises. Holy hands raised. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not our iniquities against us, We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way to grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us, and that we have done wickedly. Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Yeshua HaMashiach, that they would hear his voice, come and obey, and enter into salvation. Now, Father, as we go forth this evening, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46, and I will personalize this. If they, Israel, if we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our hearts and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication, in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us listen to a song and put ourselves, get into the spirit of the scriptures and our mind on the Most High on this his day, a day that he has ordained, that this day he rested from all his works and he commands that we do the same.
Do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. Your perfect, you are in the scripture. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that for fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back. Hallelujah. I will never go at it alone, cause you are my force and you are my defender. I have to protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that beside. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back.
You are famous for. Shut the mouth of the than we ask or think. Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful. Your word's unstoppable. All things are possible in you. God of exceedingly.
Let us go to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. And let's get verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. And the word of the Most High reads, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This commandment did not change from the old covenant to the new." The Most High wants a holy people, a sanctified people. This word holy means sanctified, set apart. It also means clean. And so when he says, be thou holy for I am holy, he tells Israel to teach the nations, and he tells the priesthood to teach Israel. Let us go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, because we need to go back and find out what the Most High said concerning this, when he said, be thou holy. What did he tell Israel concerning this? So that we have an understanding of what being holy actually really means. Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 8. Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 8. And Yah spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And then you got a colon there. And when you see a colon in the scripture, it means that the following verses explain the previous verses. And that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yah has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So the priesthood, Aaron and his sons, the Levites, were supposed to understand the difference between holy and unholy. And the Most High says, when you enter into my sanctuary, don't enter into the sanctuary if you have drank strong drink. Don't come into my presence under the influence, because now you're not sanctified. Now you are unclean. You are not holy. Okay? Let's go to the book of Leviticus chapter 5. Because we're going to find out, we want to read and find out that being unclean and being unholy is actually a sin. Okay? It's actually a sin not to be in this condition. So then if we can't be this, then we are in perpetual sin. Leviticus chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And if a soul sin, so it's talking about a soul sinning, and hears the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be the carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, or if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Guilty means that he is in sin, okay? Or if he touched the uncleanliness of man, whatsoever uncleanliness it be that a man shall be defiled withal. And if it be hid from him, when he knows it of it, then he shall be guilty. So the Most High says, if you touch anything unclean, whether it's the uncleanliness of a beast or the uncleanliness of a man, when you know, when you find out about it, then you are guilty of being unclean. Now, if you don't know something, can't be guilty of it. You are guilty, but you don't know it, okay? But when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty of one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess. Now, I want you to underline confess, because confessing your sin is not a new thing. It's not a New Testament thing. Israel and anybody who sinned in the Old Testament had to confess their sins. That the it shall be when he shall be guilty of one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yah for his sin which he has sinned. A female from the flock. Now, we know that this has changed in the New Testament and that we don't bring animal sacrifices. And the animal sacrifices is not what I want to focus on here. The thing of the matter is, being unclean is what I want you to understand, that the Most High says that it is sin. Okay? Now, what they did to reconcile that sin in those days, we're not concerned with that because Messiah is our sacrifice for all sin. Okay? But we got to understand that when we come into a sin condition, the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is true and just to forgive us. Okay? I want us to also understand that that only applies to ignorant sin, and it only applies for all sin when you first come to Messiah. It doesn't apply if you know what's wrong and you do it, you can't go to him and confess it. He says, because if you willfully do it, there is no sacrifice for that. So this applies to ignorant sin, okay, but not presumptuous sin. So when we are unclean, when we do something that makes us unclean, he says that it is sin and we are guilty and that we're to confess it. Now, you can become unclean through a lot of different things. He said the uncleanliness of the beast, the uncleanliness of man. Okay, but this is also tied to holiness. So to be holy is to be clean. To be unclean is to be unholy. They go together hand in hand. So when he says to be thou holy, for I am holy, the Most High is telling you that he is clean, that he doesn't deal in filth. Okay, and so he tells us what things that he considers to be filthy or unclean. Okay. Verse 5 again. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yah for the sin which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb of a kid or a goat, for a sin offering. So over and over again, he's telling you that to be unclean is sin, and they had to bring a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass offering, which he has committed, 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons unto Yah, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off the head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder or in two. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. But he's talking about being unclean, touching the unclean beast, touching the uncleanliness of man, okay? And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin offering which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the 10th part of an ephah. of a fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto Yah. It is a sin offering. The priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant, or the remainder, shall be the priest as a meat offering. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance, this is why I say when we read the scriptures, we find out that the Most High deals with ignorant sin and willful sin. Those are the two categories. Doesn't matter what it is, because there's only one sin that's not forgivable, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Everything else falls into one or two categories. Either it is ignorant sin, you didn't know it was sin, or it is willful sin, you know what it is. So he's talking about if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of Yah. Okay? So there are some things that he gives us some law about that, hey, you don't enter in front of me unclean. You don't come before me unclean. And so we're given some examples of, you know, a man's emissions, of a woman on her cycle, when she's had a child, the whole time that she is during her cleansing process, she cannot come before the Most High. She cannot enter into anything or do anything or have any part of anything that is holy. She cannot come before him during that time. After her purification or after the man's purification, then they can come before him. But until that time, he says, his holy things, if you do this in ignorance, then you can get out of it. But if you do it in willfully, that's a whole other thing. Then he shall bring for his trespass unto Yah a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation of the shekel of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Yah, though he wished or though he knew it not, yet he is guilty. So ignorance is not an excuse. The Most High says, even if you didn't know it, you're still guilty of the sin. Okay, but the day you find out about it, the day you find out that you are guilty of it, then you, in the New Testament, then you confess it. And he says he is true and just to forgive you because you just found out. Because surely if you knew, you wouldn't be doing it. So he doesn't, you know, he doesn't take us and say, oh, no matter what you do, if you break this commandment, then I'm going to punish you. No. The Most High says, I'm a just Elohim. What you don't know, I'm not going to punish you for, even though you're still guilty of it. Verse 17 again. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Yah, though he wished or knew it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against Yah. So we got to understand again that the Most High says, hey, if you do anything unclean, because remember we read yesterday, he said, no unclean person shall enter into or has an inheritance in Christ's kingdom, in Mashiach's kingdom. Can't get in if you're practicing uncleanliness. So we're just going back to find out what does that mean, unclean. Because the world is not telling anybody this. The church is not telling anyone this. And so they don't even come and confess that they're unclean because they don't even know it's a sin. But see, you can be unclean, then be clean, then be unclean again. Because that's the nature of this world. But when you do something and you know that you're unclean, he says, confess it. And he is true and just to forgive you. Then you know that you're not going to go and try to do that thing again. You're not going to try to make yourself be in that condition under that circumstance again. There's some things that we cannot prevent because of the world that we live in. Okay, but we should still know whether we are clean or unclean, and we should go before the Most High. You know, I became unclean today because of X. And I'm confessing it to you, Most High. And he says, and if you confess it, he is true and just to forgive you. He doesn't punish us for something happening to us that brings us into a condition of sin. But he does still say you are in sin. And he does expect you to confess it. And he does expect you to do whatever he says to do to get out of that condition. But also, he expects you to honor the length of time that he says that you are unclean. So that you spend your time in time out according as he has dictated. Okay? So a lot of people feel like, and we're not going to go into all this tonight, when I do the clean and unclean lesson again, we'll get into a lot of these things. But I want us to understand that we have to honor the Most High. He's the one that dictates what his judgments are concerning these things. And they didn't go away. If it was not an issue, then we wouldn't have found anything, any reference to it. We'd have found a reference saying, hey, it don't matter if you're unclean. To where it says something in the scriptures about, hey, being unclean is no longer an issue. And so just come as you are. And bring your sacrifice and come and worship me and come before me no matter what your condition. But this has never been the way that the Most High has been. And I don't know why, where people get this notion, this understanding that they can just come before the Most High in any condition. Because, you know, if you came before him in the wrong, if the priesthood especially came before him in the wrong condition, they were subject to die on the spot. On the spot. So he says, I will be sanctified before the people. I am holy. I am clean, and I don't deal with unclean. So I'm telling you how to get cleaned up before you come to me. Because if you come to me unclean and you know the difference, then I'm going to look at it like you're being disobedient. But if you are in ignorance, you are in ignorance. You don't know that you're unclean. He says, when you find out about it, that you're unclean, then you are to what? Confess it. Now today we confess it. Back then they had to bring a sacrifice. You have to confess it and turn away from it. Repent of it. So anything that the Most High says, you know, that we find that we were practicing, that we were doing, let's just take the dietary laws for instance. You know, he said that eating pork, eating swine is unclean to us. Not, you know, he's unclean because the Most High said it's unclean. He said these other animals like duck and rabbit, they're unclean. Camel is unclean. So the animals that he has said are unclean, they are unclean, even though you can go around the world and find people eating it. You can find people eating catfish, swine, eels, shrimp, all these creatures, and this is just, you know, an overview, that he says are unclean. You can find people eating them and still living. But he says to you, not just Israel, this is even for the saints, even though they want to say they're not up under the dietary law. But this is what makes you unclean. So as a saint in the New Testament, it says no unclean person. So they want to think that, oh, that's morally unclean. Now, that's a person with a filthy mind. No, uncleanness covers all of this. Unclean thoughts. That if we dwell on those things all the time. It covers all this. And so, you know, we can't just throw out and accept only what we want to accept. Because we read some scriptures that says, let no man judge you in meats and things like that. Because he said he's going to judge you in it. This is what people don't get. He says, let no man judge you. Because truth of the matter is, you only get judged when you're guilty. You don't find righteous people getting judged. They're not in front of the court. They're not being charged with anything. So he says, let no man judge you in these matters. Then it's really saying, hey, you're not supposed to be doing them anyway to bring yourself up under condemnation, to be judged. But he says, you know what? If somebody say they believe in him, now here's the thing. If somebody says that they believe in him, and he says, if they say they believe in me, he says, don't argue with them. I don't want no schisms in the body. Don't be fighting with those that say they believe in me. He says, because I will judge them. Now, let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Because the same Elohim who was in the Old Testament is the same Elohim in the New Testament. He says he doesn't change. He's giving us the requirements in the Old Testament. Okay, and he's defining things for us in the Old Testament. And, you know, the Pharisees try to say, hey, if you don't wash your hands, then, you know, whatever you eat is unclean. That's not what the Most High said. The Most High said, these animals, these bodily fluids, these things make you unclean. So, yeah, you might have dirt on your hands when you eat something, but I didn't tell you that that makes you unclean in my eyesight. And I didn't tell you every meat makes you unclean. It's the meat, the things that I told you that make you unclean. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. Because he says he's going to judge. And I think you can read that in Romans chapter 14. Say, hey, I don't want y'all arguing. I don't want y'all debating. I don't want y'all getting in disputes about the law. The law is the law. And the law is very clear. And the punishments, the judgments in reference to the law are very clear. Ain't nobody going to be able to have any excuse. They won't be able to have an excuse. He says, so if they say they believe in me, you don't have to worry about judging them. They belong to me. I will judge them. But I've already told them back here what is clean and what is unclean. I've already told them what is right and what is wrong. I've already told them. So if they choose to do what they want to do, one man respects every day as a Sabbath. How can he do that? Every day is a Sabbath. Well, then you can't work those days. Because the Sabbath is a day of rest by law. And so you can go out to do good, but you can't go do your servile work on the Sabbath. So every day can't be the Sabbath. He said, but one man esteems one day over another. One man esteems every day. That's what they do. That's what people aren't picking up. Doesn't matter what you do. What matters is what does the Most High say about it. What commandment did he give concerning that thing? So whether, you know, you of your own accord, he already told us, we've read this before, that you don't add to or take away from his laws, his commandments. So I said the seventh day was holy, but you're going to make every day holy. I said the seventh day was holy. Oh, you're going to make the first day holy or the fifth day holy or the third day holy. Doing whatever's right in their own minds. So these are acts of disobedience. But he says, hey, if they say they believe in me, don't get into any arguments with them. This is what we as the saints have to pick up out of the scriptures. They say they believe in me. Don't argue with them about this stuff. I will judge them. But he says he's gonna judge. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. That means he's going to be strict. I told you before, this is how I want things. Everything is not covered in the New Testament. It's not gone back over again, only the changes. That's why when we talk about holiness, we got to go back and see what the Most High is talking about. When he's talking about clean and unclean, we got to go back and see what he was defining. So Luke chapter 19, I believe it's verse 27. Let me get there myself. Luke 19 and verse 27, I believe. Luke 19, verse 27. Because this is Messiah talking. And actually, for context, let's start a little bit higher. Yeah, we're going to start just a little bit higher because people got to understand who Messiah really is. Okay, and I want us to have that understanding so that we know we're not dealing with just anybody. And he's been very clear in the scriptures as to how he is. Yes, I'm here to die for your sins. I'm here to save you from your sins. But don't think that I'm going up on this cross because I want to go up there. This is a must do. To fulfill the word of the Most High, to make sure that my plan that I have in place happens the way I want it to happen, and that I take excuses from men. When I send them to the lake, they're not going to have an excuse. Let's go back up. I want us to get this context and let's go back up to verse 12. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 12. Okay, and we are going to read this. I want you to get the parable, and I want you to see what Messiah says concerning this thing, okay? He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Messiah has gone away to a far country, and he's doing what? Going to return to us. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy. Occupy says to take possession of. This is why I say we have to be getting land. There's no reason for us not to be getting land and taking possession of it and occupying and establishing the kingdom on the earth in communities. Okay. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, this doesn't have to just do with trading. This has to do what the Most High has given you to do. We have a mission. Go and teach all nations. It takes money to do that. It takes funding to do that. We don't all work in ministry, and some of us work jobs that are not related to ministry. He says that's why we're to have all things in common. That's a whole other lesson, because we're supposed to be on the same page, supposed to be doing the same things. Then came the first saying, Lord or Master, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. We want to rule with him, but we don't want to do the things that earn us this rulership, okay? The second came, saying, Master, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now, this is the average everyday person, the average everyday saint. Don't understand that they've been tasked by Messiah. We don't just come into the kingdom and sit on our hands. We don't just come into the kingdom and live day to day. But we have a mission. And if it's not directly, then it's in support of a mission. So when we don't get involved and do kingdom work, then we have taken our talent that he gave us, the pound that he gave these workers, and we put it in a napkin, we want to save it. We want, you know, we're not going to do anything with it. He says, for I fear thee. Why did he fear him? Because thou art an austere man. Let's look at this word austere. Because it's telling you, Messiah is going to agree with me. You knew I was an austere man. Webster's Dictionary for austere. Severe, harsh, rigid, stern. Does that sound like he rules with a rod of iron? Exactly. The scriptures don't mix and match. They don't contradict. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He is rigid. He is harsh. See, people think when he says, oh, I'm going to kill you for that. Oh, man, that's harsh. For just that? He ain't playing. We the ones that are playing. He's not playing. So people read these words, and I don't know, they don't look them up. They don't try to find out who they're dealing with. I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Why then gave not thou my money into the bank? He's really asking you, why didn't you conduct business the proper way? Okay, why didn't you take care of business? That my coming I might have required my own with usury, with interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Now, you wouldn't do anything with it, so I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to give it to somebody that was going to do something with it. And they said unto him, Master, or Lord, or Master, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given. If you've done and you have acquired credit to your account by doing what the Most High has told you to do, has asked you to do in relationship to the kingdom, he says, then I'm going to give to you. I'm going to take from those who haven't done anything and give it to those who have done something. And from him that has not, even that he has, shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies, who are his enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, that didn't want me to reign over them, that didn't want to keep my commandments, that didn't want to do what I said do, bring them here, hither is here, and do what to them? Slay them before me. So when he says that you are unclean, unholy, when he says that these offenses are worthy of death, believe him, because he says, you know, I'm an austere man. I am severe. I am harsh. I am stern. I'm not this walkover that people have told you. I'm not all forgiving. I'm not all merciful. I have mercy on those that love me. But if you don't love me, you're my enemy. You're not my friend. You are my enemy. Now, this is what he says in the scriptures. Messiah himself said to those my enemies that would not have me to reign over them, bring them here. This is what's going to happen. Now, kill them right in front of me, because this is what they deserve, is death. Kill them right here in front of me. No unclean or unholy person shall have an inheritance in the kingdom. So when he says, be thou holy, for I am holy, and he tells you being holy is, being unholy is sin, being unclean is sin. And if you say that you can't be holy, you are signing your own death warrant. You're signing your own because you're refusing to follow the commandment. and all with all that's within you. As you learn, you have to incorporate it. He says, and those things that you know, you better keep. And if you do something, if you're doing something and it's by accident or you don't know it, then all you got to do is confess it. This nothing has changed. We read in Leviticus, he said, hey, confess your sin. And then the priest can make atonement for you. Now today you can confess it, and you don't need a priest to make atonement for you. You can go straight to Messiah, confess your sin. He said, and he is true and just to forgive you. But he's not true and just to forgive you all sin. He's true and just to forgive you your ignorant sin. So if you are unclean ignorantly, he says, hey, I'm not going to charge you with that. You are unclean. But I'm going to let you know you're unclean. Now you confess, because I let you know that you're unclean, you confess it, and I'm true and just to forgive you. Now don't go do things intentionally to make yourself what? Unclean. Don't go do things intentionally to make yourself unholy. Holy and cleanliness go together. Holiness, and to be holy means to be clean. This is by definition of the Most High. Now we can say, oh, you got a dirty mind, and your thoughts are continually dirty. He says that person has a reprobate mind. He don't even equate it to cleanliness or uncleanliness. He equates it to reprobate. This person is retarded. This person has something is wrong with their mind. This person is possessed by an unclean spirit. But we got to understand that he defines these things. And so when he says, be thou holy, for I am holy, then you got to understand what he's talking about. Don't just take for granted what men say. Because, you know, they'll have you believing this is something you can't be. That's why we don't understand perfection. You got to get what the Most High describes as perfection, not what men describe as perfection. Before you say, we can't do it, I can't do it. The Most High knows we make mistakes, and a mistake is a mistake. What he don't put up with is you doing something that is not a mistake, that is wrong, that is not a mistake. He doesn't put up with that. If you do something ignorantly. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, starting in verse 1. The book of Leviticus chapter 9, starting in verse 1. We're talking about, be thou holy, for I am holy. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before Yah. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take you a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for a peace offering, to sacrifice before Yah. And a meat offering mingled with oil, for today Yah will appear unto you. Now this is the day that they raised the tabernacle. And the Most High is coming down to dedicate the altar. And he said, hey, get these things, these animals, and make a sin offering for the people. So that, you know, I'm not coming down and I'm looking at people that haven't been atoned for. I'm not dealing with a sinful audience. So he's telling Aaron them to make these offerings. Okay, again, we have Messiah today. Yah will appear unto you. And Yah came down and appeared unto them. Verse 5. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before Yah. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yah commanded that you should do, and the glory of Yah shall appear unto you. So he told them to make these sin offerings. for an atonement, that he would appear. He won't appear to you if you are in sin. He won't even answer your prayers unless it's to repent. He doesn't deal with anybody who's in an unclean state. His presence won't come. Now we're going to go into the book of Leviticus chapter 10. And the stories, the names in the scriptures, most names in the scriptures mean something. And so you always have to look up names in a story, in the book, to make sure that it's not trying to teach you a different lesson than that's there. Okay. In the book of Leviticus chapter 10, we have two names, Nadab and Abihu. Nadab comes in the Strong's, is H5068, means liberal. His name means liberal. And Abihu comes from H1 and H1931, means father or worshiper of him. So their names together mean liberal worshiper of him. Okay? Liberal worshiper of the Father. Now, we're going to read this story to find out what happened to liberal worship of the Father. Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And Nadab, liberal, and Abihu, worshiper of the Father, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Now, the Most High has just come down, and he's still presenting the altar. He's dedicating the altar to Israel. So get this picture in your mind. The whole entire nation is here, and they're before the tabernacle. He says, you know, the priesthood made the sacrifices for the children of Israel. The Most High says, I'm coming down. I'm going to appear to you and be in your presence. And he's already told, had Moses to teach Aaron and his sons, Nadab and Abihu are the sons of Aaron. They have duties in the tabernacle. He says, do make the tabernacle after the pattern that I showed you in the heavens. And now here is the running of the tabernacle, and do everything exactly as I tell you how to do it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Do it exactly as I say to. So Nadab, liberal, and Abihu, worshiper of the Father, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. What was strange is I didn't tell you to burn incense at this time. And the service is out of order, and it looks strange to me. This is no special type of fire. There's no special type of incense. They have done what they wanted to do, when they wanted to. Oh, it seems like it's good that I should offer incense at this time. This is what they did. And we might say, oh, that's all they did? Yes, that's all they did. They offered incense at a time when the Most High had not said that it should be offered during the service. They were out of order. And there went out fire from Yah and devoured them, and they died before Yah. Wait a minute, I thought he was all merciful and all kind. No, I told you that I will be sanctified. I told you that I was an austere man. I told you that I'm rigid, I'm stern. I told you only do what I told you to do. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. He says, so don't worship me liberally. Don't do what you think you want to do, how you want to do it. Because it might look strange to me. And if it looks strange to me, you're subject to die on the spot. Now, see, we don't see judgment coming like that today, and so we think we can just do whatever we want to do. We got these pastors and people doing things in the services that the Most High never, ever said he wanted done. Well, he didn't say he didn't want it done. He said, but he did say what he did want done. And you find out when you do what he don't want done, this is what happens. Verse 2 again. And there went out fire from Yah and devoured liberal worship. And they died before Yah. He killed liberal worship. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that which Yah spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh or near to me. The closer you get to the Most High, the stricter he is. Because the more you should know. You should know better. So you don't, you're not his priest, and you don't know the rules of engagement. You don't know how you're supposed to act on the job. You don't understand, hey, you can't come up in here drunk. Can't come up in here sweating. Because see, there, you know, every place, everything is not in one place. But as a priest, you can't be before the Most High sweating. Because he says that your sweat is a bodily emission that is unclean to him. So you are not holy at that time. But let me continue. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me, that come close to me. I will be set apart. I will be sanctified. I will be treated special. You will have the utmost respect for me, or you'll lose your life. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace, because Moses had already told them, this is what you do. This is when you do it. This is how you do it. And you got to follow the instructions to the letter. And don't do what you want to do, because he don't accept it. And evidently, Nadab and Abihu didn't believe that. And the Most High, the same fire he had just consumed the sacrifice with, coming from him, consuming the sacrifice, that fire turns on them and devours them. Verse 4, and Moses called Mishael and Elizaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend or tear your clothes, lest you what? Die. Don't be acting all bad and stuff like you all hurt in front of the Most High. Because he ain't having it. So don't uncover your head. Don't rend your clothes like you're in anguish. You're hurting. Yeah, your sons, your nephews, they just died. But they were told what to do and what not to do. And the Most High don't play. So don't be acting all mad, or don't cop an attitude, in other words. At least you die for your attitude. And the wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yah has kindled. Let the house of Israel, but you, the ones that are close to me, that minister to me, because see, the priesthood's job is to minister to the Most High and to be the go-between between the Most High and man. In this case, the Most High and Israel. He says, I will be sanctified in those that come close to me. So you cannot be a man or a woman of the Most High and be acting all stupid and thinking that it's going to be blessed. The closer you get to him, the harder he is on you. Because you should know. And if you don't know, you don't want to be claiming that you're all close to him, that you know, you're doing this work, and then you are doing things that are ungodly, that you are doing things that are unclean, that you are doing things that are unholy. You don't want to do that. The closer you are to him, those that come nigh unto me, the harder he is. And the swifter judgment comes. But let thy brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yah has kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of Yah is upon you. They were holy. They were sanctified. They couldn't go just anywhere in the clothes that had been dedicated and assigned for them to wear before the Most High. If they did it, think about this. You're a preacher. You just preached a sermon. And then you go outside in your robe and you fall over dead. Now, this is what he's saying to them. You can't go outside the door in these robes, lest you die. For the anointing oil of Yah, and the anointing oil represented the Spirit at this time, is upon you. And they did according to the words of Moses. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. See, you just had a death in the family. You just had something horrific happen to you. And you say, oh, I need a drink. Or you just drink. And then you want to come before the Most High in that condition. He said, no, don't come before me in this condition. It was a death sentence. Now, he says, he's going to judge all these people that do such things. So they don't see it coming right now. But he says, when I resurrect them, he said, they're going to be judged. I will judge them. And I'm already telling you what is holy and what is clean and what is unclean. So if you are saying that you're my child and you represent me, you got to know what the house rules are. You got to know what you can and cannot do. How are you going to be around your father and he's an austere man? And you're supposed to be close to him. Then you need to know how to engage. You need to know what he puts up with and what he don't. You need to know what he's going to get you for in the future. Because you don't see it right now, you might think you got away with it. But he says, I've set a day. I used to come and do this stuff right away. He says, but now I've set a day where I'm going to judge all mankind. I'm going to resurrect everybody, and I'm going to look in the book. I said that you are to appear before me holy, and all the time you appear before me unholy. And then somebody told you that you were unclean, and you just disregarded and you continue to come unclean. So my word don't change, and you knew it. Now, if you were in ignorance, that's a whole other thing. But you knew it. So therefore, my judgment stands. Now, if they couldn't go outside in their robe, if they could work, you know, something horrific just happened, he said, hey, don't get an attitude. If he said, hey, do everything exactly the way I said do it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And the sentence for all these things was death. Who does the church think that they're messing with? They're certainly not worshiping the Elohim of the Bible. Even Messiah himself told us, those that would have it that I should not reign over them, that they don't have to obey me, bring them here and kill them right before me. See, people don't read that stuff in the scriptures. And they certainly don't tie it to the Most High. So when he says, be thou holy, for I am holy, that's exactly what he means. See, I gave you my holiness laws. I told you how to come before me. I told you what you have to do, and this stuff hadn't changed. That's why I say when people are reading scriptures in the New Testament, they're reading them out of context. And they're thinking that they're getting, you know, a free pass. But they're not getting a free pass. And Messiah said, the scriptures tell us, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. You want to rule with him, those that overcome, got to rule with him with a rod of iron as well. Got to rule the same way he rules. He says, I'm stiff, I'm severe, I'm harsh. I don't play. So you think that I went up on this cross for you to go back and just do what I just went up the cross on the cross for? You went back to do it again and you knew it was wrong? You confessed it to me and you went back and did it again? I made you clean and you went back and made yourself unclean? Put yourself back in sin? He says, your time is coming. I will not be mocked. You think you're mocking me. You think you're getting away with something, but you're not. And so the church had better wake up. And the camps had better wake up. And the saints had better wake up. Because, you know, we can say, oh, well, I don't fornicate. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not committing adultery. And I'm not stealing anything. But then when he says no unclean person shall inherit the kingdom, somehow, you know, we think that that's just somebody that's just morally unclean. A person that fornicates is morally unclean in the eyes of the Most High. A person that commits adultery is morally unclean in the eyes of the Most High. A person that is covetous is unclean in the eyes, or morally unclean in the eyes of the Most High. Matter of fact, anybody that intentionally practices sin is morally unclean in the eyes of the Most High. So it's not just moral uncleanliness, because that applies to everything. But he said these other things. If you touch something unclean, an unclean beast, or the uncleanness of man, if you eat something unclean, he said, I didn't just give you these laws just to give them to you. If you want to be close to me, this is the standard to be close to me. Those that come nigh to me, I will be sanctified in you. I will be treated special in you. You will not just treat me as somebody common. You won't do it. I am the Most High Elohim, and everything in the creation, seen and unseen, bows to me. I bow to no one or nothing. Everything bows to me. And so you're going to come before me? You think you just come before me just any kind of way? That's why I say this, I don't understand it. I don't know what spirit this is on the churches. But if you study this word, then you know you can't just come before him any kind of way. Can't just do anything you want to do. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And it didn't change in the new covenant. That's the reason why I'm covering this specific topic, because there's just no unclean person. I want people to have understanding that this is what the Most High defines as clean and unclean, as defines as holy and unholy. So you don't say, I can't do that. So you don't say it's impossible. Because you're just signing your own death warrant when you do that. You are signing yourself to the lake. Let's continue to read. Verse 9 again. Do not drink wine nor strong drink. Thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation. Lest you die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. This is forever. Don't ever come before me drunk. Don't ever come before me and you've consumed alcohol, other than in communion, in that service. Other than that, don't come before me in that condition. But that would go with anything other, you know, that would go with drugs. Just because he says wine right here, strong drink. It will also go for anything that alters your mind. That you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean, or unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all my statutes, which Yah has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. See, the Most High said in the New Covenant, I will write my laws, my commandments, in your hearts and in your minds. The same ones. I'm not making up some new ones. I'm not making it easier either. So when the church doesn't go back into the law, how can they think that if you love your brother or your sister that you have fulfilled all of the law? No, you fulfill the law of love. But there's other laws, and they weren't done away with. That's why it says no unclean person. These are the laws being adulterers and fornicators and covetous and malicious. And these are things that are straight out of Torah. They're not new in the New Testament. They are reiterated and made harsher in the New Testament. It's not easier, it's harder. Somehow, the church has gotten this understanding that, you know, they got a free pass, they got liberty. Not to sin, they don't, but that's what they have interpreted it as. All have sinned and come short of the glory, and that is true. There ain't a single person on this planet that can say that they haven't sinned. But he says, I brought you out of sin. I paid the price that you can come out of sin. It's like I told the woman who they brought to me, accused of adultery. Where are your accusers at? I said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Where they all were sinners. He says, now go and sin no more. He didn't say go and be careful. He said, go and sin no more. Don't come back here or don't come before me again. Accused of adultery. Because he knew she was guilty. But they hadn't followed the law themselves. Didn't bring the man. And when he got through with them, the law required two or three witnesses. When he got through them with no witnesses, he says, then where are your accusers at? The law requires two or three witnesses. Where are they at? They're not here. He says, neither do I accuse you. He's in the law. Now go and sin no more. He said, if she wasn't guilty, he'd be like, hey, now go and don't worry about them. Keep living a righteous life. He said, no, go and sin no more. I know you're guilty, but the requirements of the law have not been met, and they try to make me put you to death. But I came here for salvation. I didn't come here to take life at this time. I came here to save life. So I'm gonna get around my own law. But when I come back, I'm not going to be that way. They don't know who they're messing with. I'm an austere man. I came to, and this trip, I came to offer you salvation. I came to offer you a way out of your sin. When I come back, all those who would not that I should reign over them, in other words, they wouldn't obey me, bring them here. Kill them right before me. Because I don't think saints read that. I don't think they know. I don't think they really know who they're messing with. He never played in Torah. You come outside in your priestly robes, you're going to die. You get an attitude with the Most High, you're going to die. You do things out of order, you're going to die. This is who you're messing with. somehow we got this picture that, again, he's all merciful. They don't understand what he's saying when he says that. I should have already killed you all. And every day that I don't bring judgment, I'm being merciful. From day to day, my mercies are forever until I come to bring judgment. Then it's over. So Israel, our job is to teach the nations, to teach the church, the difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. We're supposed to teach them this. Stuff wasn't done away with. It wasn't done away with. And this is not just applying to the nation of Israel, because we have it in the new covenant. Let's finish these verses. Verse 11 again. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which I have spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of Yah made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And he shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due, and thy sons do, of the sacrifices of Yah made by fire, for so I am commanded. Now they had a commandment to eat these sacrifices, the sin offerings. And the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall you eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due, and thy sons do, which are given out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat to wave it before the wave offering of Yah. And it shall be thine and thy sons with thee by statute forever, as Yah has commanded. Okay. And we're going to stop here on that, because we find out they didn't eat it. They were still so upset. But the rationale that they gave Moses said, okay, and it sufficed the Most High, because they should have died right there. They broke the commandment, even that quick. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High says, you know what? I understand you're upset. I just killed your son, so I'm gonna have a little bit of leniency with you right now. But any other day, you don't do what I say do. You don't sanctify me. You come before me and just think you can just treat me any kind of way. You can appear before me just any kind of way. You can appear before me unclean. Especially not if you consider yourself to be my priesthood. You're supposed to know better. So you don't come before me unclean. You don't present yourself to me unclean. You have respect of me. So to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, starting in verse 45. And I'm going to speed this up a little bit for time's sake. For I am Yah that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Tells them again. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature. Now he's talking about those creatures that make you unclean, that moveth in the waters of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. These are the things that make you, these are the animals that make you clean or unclean, that may be eaten or not. Somehow, today, people believe that, hey, they don't have to keep these dietary laws. If you come close to the Most High, he says, you can't come close to me eating these things. And if you're doing it in ignorance, that's one thing. But once you know, how dare you? that you may know the difference between unclean and clean. He could have just put holy and unholy right there. The words are synonymous. No unclean person has an inheritance in Mashiach's kingdom. Leviticus chapter 12. Because we're looking to see what he's talking about when he's saying this. So he said the uncleanness of man, the uncleanness of beast. And then he says, be ye holy for I am holy. He's telling you the things that make you holy that you can do to be holy and the things that you can do to be unholy. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. That's the male child shall be circumcised on the 8th day. But the woman is unclean 7 days, according to the days of her separation if she has a male child. And then she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days or 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing. She can't come before me unclean. She can't take part in any hallowed thing while she's in this condition, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks. As in her separation, and she shall continue in her blood of her purifying 66 days, 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon and a turtle dove for a sin offering. She is in sin. What made her in sin? The seed of copulation made her unclean. The blood that she is shedding makes her unclean. The Most High says, being unclean is a sin in his eyes. It's not Brother Miles saying this. The Most High is saying this. So she needs to bring a sin offering. Unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before Yah and make an atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that has borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now, today, how do you translate that today? Then when she is in these conditions today, she's not supposed to take part in anything hallowed. Not to go into the church, not to go into the sanctuary, not to go before the Most High in this condition. If the church and the altar and all that's holy, then she has to understand that in her mind these things are holy, this ground is holy. If they understand that the Most High makes a presence there, that he makes an appearance there in the Ruach HaKodesh, then you don't come before him any kind of way. And then you go into prayer. Most High, I understand the law and I keep it. And I confess that I am unclean by virtue of these acts. And I'm going to do my time, whether for a male or a female child. And then I ask for your forgiveness. Because see, Messiah didn't die for all your sins, past, present, and future. The day you came to him, he died for all your sins that you confess at that point. And past. Past, not future. So now you find yourself in this condition. You had a child. You are unclean. It is sin. Messiah didn't, you got to confess that. If you confess your sin, then he is true and just to forgive it. still can't go into the sanctuary until your time of cleansing is over. We have to understand the law. It hasn't been done away with. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 15. Teach the children of Israel so that they are able to tell clean from unclean, holy from unholy. Teach the church so they can understand clean from unclean, holy from unholy. Because they be making up stuff. They think that it's just dealing with an unclean spirit. They think that it's just dealing with moral character. These are the things that bring death sentence. Leviticus chapter 15. And Yah spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue. Whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanliness. Every bed wherein he lieth, that he has the issue, is unclean. And everything whereupon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. There's a time frame here. Even though you washed, you took a shower, took a bath, even if you are not him and you touched it, you are unclean. You're unclean for a time period. So this happened in the morning. You took a shower, you took a bath, you are still unclean until the evening. This didn't change. It's not just for Israel either. So in these cleanliness laws, he sets you a time. If you're a woman that had a baby, you are unclean for this amount of time. You cannot take part in anything holy or hallow. Can't come into the sanctuary until your cleansing is done and you made your sin offering. It's nothing changed, except for you don't make the sin offering. You confess it. I am unclean. You serve your time, whatever that time is. In this time, you wash, and you're unclean to that evening. If it's Sabbath, and you do something Friday night, and it's the time of the Sabbath, you have just made yourself unclean for the entire Sabbath. Because you're unclean until the next night, the next evening. So you have brothers teaching, oh yeah, it's okay to have sex with your wife on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is holy. You're not supposed to take part in anything that's unclean during the Most High's holy days. You're not supposed to enter into his tabernacle. You're not supposed to take part of anything that is hallowed. I hope we can hear this. Verse 5, and whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that sitteth upon anything whereupon he sat that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. They are unclean and they are in sin. But they're in sin and unclean for a time period. So he says, wash, and you're unclean for this time period. And when after that time period is up, you are clean again. You're not in sin anymore if you obey the law. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that has the issue shall be unclean. Now, we live in a world today where people run around in unclean conditions everywhere. You know, Elohim forbid, you got to take public transportation. You don't know what condition people are getting on the bus, the airplane, any of this stuff in these unclean conditions. And then he says, well, you don't know you're unclean. But, you know, I would say it this way. Why not just assume that you're unclean? Because you don't know what everybody else, you know what you've been doing, but you don't know what everybody else been doing. Just came back from fornicating. Ain't even took a shower. Touching everything. Sat in that seat and then got up and you sat down behind them. Mosiah says, you are now unclean. You don't know it, but you are. So you have a conversation with the person. They got up, but they just stood up and you sat down. They said, yeah, I just came from a girl's house and we just got through doing the do. Oh, man, you were just sitting here. But see, you don't know who was sitting there before him and what they had done. So before you go before the Most High, I would say that you assume that you are unclean if you've been out. You take a shower, you wash, and then you know you're unclean to the evening. Then you go before the Most High. See, this was how Job was. That's why the Most High said Job was perfect. He was always making sacrifices for his family just in case. I don't know if they over there sinning or not, but just in case, let me make the sacrifice on their behalf. So if you are the individual, then we might as well assume. Went out to here, went out to there, touched this and touched that. You don't know what people are doing today. And because we don't live by the cleanliness laws as a society, and we think that, oh, if you wipe it down with Lysol or anything like that, then it's okay. The Most High said no. It's not his judgment. He says, now, even if you did wipe it down with Lysol and there's no germs on it, you are still unclean for a time period. So you can't get around it. You say, oh, yeah, we sanitized and we did this and we did that and we're all good. No, the Most High says you're unclean for a time period as well. So go and wash. Oh, we sanitized it. Okay, what time is it? What time of the evening come? Oh, it's 12 o'clock in the day. You unclean till evening. But I washed. I told you that before to wash. You still unclean till the evening. Oh, but I sanitized it. Yeah, but I still told you you're unclean until the evening. See, this is where people want to mix and match. They want to do what they want to do. You can't do that with the Most High. Let me go down. Just drop down to verse 13. I'm just going to read through this so we get the idea. Verse 13. And when he has an issue, is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days. Now, make sure I'm not mixing this. Yeah, he shall number to himself. This is for a certain type of uncleanness. You have to go up there and get what I missed. But for time's sake, he that has the issue is cleansed of his issue. Then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing and shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in running water and shall be clean. So in this case here, they were unclean longer than just to the evening. And on the eighth day he shall take unto him 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons and come before Yah unto the altar of the tabernacle of the congregation and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them for one for a sin offering. A sin offering because he was unclean. And the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before Yah for his issue. Verse 16. If any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his clothes, shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. And every garment and every skin whereupon his seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. The woman also with whom the man shall lie with, seed of copulation. They shall both of themselves in water, bathe themselves in water, and be unclean until the evening. So can't go have sex and then go to the church. Can't go have sex and go to the camp. Can't go have church and then enter into Sabbath, especially if you're having sex after Sabbath starts. Now, if you had sex before Sabbath start, you go and wash your clothes and your unclean Sabbath starts at the evening, then you can enter into the Sabbath because you have met the requirement. But it's Friday night and you just got off, and this is the time you and you're used to getting yours on, Saturday morning or whatever, but it's the time of the Sabbath, then you have just made yourself unclean and in sin for the Sabbath. Seed of copulation. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. The same thing for the man. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. There's a time period here. Wash, and then you're still unclean. And if it be on her bed or anything whereupon she sitteth, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon her, she's on her menstrual cycle, and some man lie with her, or y'all start, and she starts on her cycle, either way it goes, there's blood involved. He shall be unclean 7 days. And all the bed whereupon he lieth shall be unclean. And if the woman have an issue of her body many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Now again, all this uncleanness says that you can't go, for the man and the woman, you can't go do have anything, can't take part in anything that is hallowed. Can't come before the Most High that way. Every bed whereupon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sets upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. And after that she shall be clean. And on the eighth day she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer up one for a sin offering and one for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement before Yah for the issue of her uncleanliness. Okay. The thing that I want us to remember here is that this uncleanliness is the same as being unholy, and it is sin in the eyes of the Most High. So don't just think that you're unclean and, oh, I just go wash and it's all good. You still are told that if you confess your sin, that he is true and just to forgive you. If you don't know that you're unclean and that it's a sin, then you're doing it in ignorance. But the day you find out about it, then you're supposed to confess it. And you're supposed to not practice being unclean. Because remember, he says, no unclean person. He actually puts uncleanliness with whoremongers, fornication, being covetous. Sinners. It's in the same category. It is sin. It says they won't enter into the kingdom. And it doesn't just have to do with, you know, being morally unrighteous. These are having to do with animals. They're having to do with bodily emissions. So you're not supposed to take part in anything holy, hallowed, when we are in this condition. And so we got to understand that this is a big deal with the Most High. What is the penalty? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. I'm just going to get verses 20 and 21. And I'm going to wrap this up. I wanted to make sure that we have an understanding that nothing in the new covenant, this has not changed. Leviticus chapter 7, starting in verse 20. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings that pertaineth unto Yah, having his uncleanness upon him. This person is taking part in something hallowed. The peace offering was sanctified. Having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. This being cut off in the scriptures means that they were to be put to death. That's what that meant, being cut off. Today, he says, just put them out. Put them out. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering which pertains to Yah, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. This was a death sentence to take part in anything hallowed. That's what being cut off meant. Didn't mean that, oh, they just kick you out of the nation. Get out. You're no longer a part of us. In these days, to be cut off from your people meant that they killed you. In the New Testament, the Most High says, put them out. Let it not once be named among you that a brother or even a sister is practicing fornication. Don't let it be once named among you. But that's just really talking about all sin. Uncleanliness would go in that. But we think that it's something else. And we think we have liberty, but he killed liberal worship. I showed you that. We think we have liberty to come and do these things and that he's all merciful and he's all forgiving, but Messiah himself told you, I'm an austere man, you know it. I am rough, I'm harsh. I'm severe in my actions. I told you in Torah, I'm going to do terrible things. Somehow we got him as, we only see him as a lamb. He said, I came as a lamb one time. And I came with the spirit of that lamb one time. Because my real nature is to take it to you. My real nature is to get off in your duff. And I don't take prisoners. So let's read Luke chapter 19 verse 27 again. And we will close this precept. Because I want us to understand, you can be holy. You can be sanctified. You got to know what it is. Don't eat those unclean things. Don't practice fornicating and adultery and then come and take part in the hallowed things of the Most High. Don't worship the Most High any way, any kind of way, and think that, oh, well, you know, I heard this, and this is what they do over at this church. You don't know what they're following. And this is what they do in this religion. You don't know what they're following. He said, don't do it unto me that way. Do only what I tell you to do. Worship me the way that I tell you to worship me. I said, I have no law against these things. How much love, how much mercy, how much joy to bring to somebody, how much long suffering. I said, there ain't no law against those things, but everything else, there's a law against it. So Luke chapter 19, verse 27. But those mine enemies, this is your king talking, Messiah, which would not that I should reign over them, that would not obey me, bring them here and slay them before me. This is what he's going to do. Everybody thinking that they are at liberty to do what they want to do? Everybody think they're at liberty to be unclean? To be unholy when he has commanded that you be holy? When you make excuses saying, hey, I can't be holy, then this is what he's going to say. Bring them over here. I told you to be holy. I told you that if you were doing something in ignorance, I wouldn't judge you. I forgive you. You're still guilty of it. That don't change that because you didn't know it. Don't mean that it's not a sin. It's still a sin. But I'm not going to judge you in that thing. But now that you know, don't let me catch you doing it. Don't transgress. Say, oops. Don't willfully do it. You know, if you forgot, you know, you're in a habit and you just forgot. Or something happened. Whatever the case may be, you weren't trying to do that. He says, I'll forgive you. But if you know and you still do it, I ain't putting up with that. Bring them over here. They would not that I should rule over them. They don't want to obey. Kill them right here. Cut them in half. Cut the head off. Whatever the case may be. I don't play that stuff. I'm harsh. I'm severe. I'm rigid. You know this. Or you, if you don't, you're supposed to. I never played in Torah. I ain't playing in the New Testament either. Wait a minute. I have to get one more verse. I apologize. I said I was going to be done after that. I have to get one more verse. Give me a second. I tell you these things and teach you these things because Yah commands it. And I don't want to see anybody end up in the lake out of ignorance. I don't see anybody not serving the Most High the way he commands to be served. He's not playing. I know why. One second here. I think this is in John that I'm looking for. It's Galatians. Go to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. The book of Galatians, chapter 6. We'll read 9 verses, and we're going to close out. Start at verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, or of Mashiach. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, you have commanded us, your people, that we should be holy, for you are holy. You have given us what the definition of holy and unholy is. It is synonymous with being clean and unclean. And you have given us your requirements, what we should do, how long we are unclean, how do we get clean again. You have defined all these things, from the beast to the uncleanliness of man, that we should not take part in anything hallow while we are in this condition. And it is very serious with you, because you don't deal in filth. You don't deal in uncleanliness. You are clean and holy, and you don't want to get dirty, is what you're saying to us, your people. Father, we hear your word. We hear your voice. We understand what it means to be clean and unclean, holy and unholy. And Father, we can do it. Father, if there's anything that makes us unclean or unholy that we are ignorant of, Father, we don't want to come before you even in ignorance. Let us know, Father. Send somebody to tell us. Bring it to our attention that we might appear before you sanctified, that we might treat you as sanctified and holy above all things, that we might reverence when we come before you, Father, that we reverence you with fear and trembling, because you are severe, you are harsh, you are rigid, you are stern. And you won't be mocked. Men today think that they are getting away with things that you are not going to deal with. You're not going to put up with. And they teach such things. Father, we just want to come before you in peace. We want to see your face in peace. We want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, we pray. Amen and amen. All right. On tomorrow, morning, I don't yet know what I'm going to be teaching. I think that I might have to approach this thing by subject matter, the law in the New Testament, because see, you know, people are teaching that, you know, we're not up under the law, and then they, you know, there's more laws. There's only 613 laws in Torah. There's approximately 1,050 in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. He didn't delete anything, he added to. He did, well, I can't say he didn't delete it. He deleted the sacrifice. And he deleted that we couldn't go, you know, the law saying that we weren't to mix with the Gentile nations. But he actually added to. He redefined some things and added to. And anything that the Most High says, we should never, ever take as a suggestion. Should never take it that way. If he said it, he meant it. And it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. So if you should be a certain way, it's not a suggestion. So I might have to take this by subject matter. I'll pray on it tonight. I'll put out, you know, the message, the text, you know, what we're going to go over tomorrow. But, yeah, we will have service in the morning, and tomorrow evening is... It's the Most High's day. It ain't Christmas for us. It is the Most High Sabbath. And so it's business as usual. So I will put out the message on what the topic will be, whatever the Most High puts on my heart. But I think I'm going to start covering this by subject matter rather than just going through the entire book. I don't know. I may have to pray on that. You know, it is nothing wrong with reading scripture. And, you know, every time that, you know, I read, I don't know about anybody else, but every time I read, I get something new. I get, you know, more enlightenment. And Most High shows me something, especially these days, in a light that he hadn't shown me before. So we might end up starting in Matthew chapter 1 and just go through the book. We'll see what the Most High says. You know, or I may do it by subject matter, or we may mix it. You know, I may go through the book some, you know, in some things, and then to break up the monotony or what have you, I'll do a subject, you know, alcoholism or anything like that as it pertains in the scripture. We'll see. But I'll put it out, and I'm not gonna say the format is in stone right now. But we will definitely cover the new covenant. We'll cover the changes. We have to cover, you know, all of the law. As I said, none of the six, well, I keep saying that. The vast majority of the 613, anything that applies to the temple is gone. We know that we are the temple now. And so scripture says, hey, if we defile the temple, the Most High is going to destroy us. I don't know why people think it's okay to do things that destroy the temple, you know, intentionally, from bad habits and things like that, even though there's no law against it. But if you wouldn't walk up in the church or walk up in a camp, go up on the altar smoking a cigarette, or, you know, we read, don't come before me if you've been drinking, then we ought to know that we can't just approach any kind of way. So I'm not sure how I'm going to cover it as of right now. I have to pray on it. But we will have a lesson tomorrow morning, and I will, you know, send out the message sometime tonight or early, early in the morning. Sometimes Most High comes to me 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, speaks with me and reveals things to me or gives me direction early in the morning. And so he may say different, but right now, you know, it's in my mind and in my heart to do it by subject matter. But we may end up, for our sake, reading the entire New Testament and, you know, picking out things as we go through. We'll see what Yah says. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Obey his voice. Keep his commandments. Show him that you love him. Shalom, family. And I apologize for keeping you over.
If I don't have you, it's all about you. without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign. Which dwelleth.